KTXX.com.
From the Yubio Business Services Studios, you're listening to KTXX FM and HD1 BK, KTAE AM Elgin, K270CO Round Rock. Guests on the horn appear courtesy of the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Vaqueros now delivers and offers curbside pickup. For info on placing your lunch or dinner order, visit VaquerosCafe.com. Mornings with Bucky and Aaron are brought to you by Bud Light.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
I'll be at E with you on a Monday, trying to figure it all out. We've begun our Horn Top 20 countdown, but will it all be for naught? Hoping that there's a college football season, but becoming less likely by the minute. And now, according to Dan Patrick, or the Dan Patrick Show, not our lieutenant governor, but the sports radio host, he reported this morning that he was told, or a source close to the situation, says the Big Ten and the Pac-12 will announce tomorrow that they are not going to play college football or compete in fall sports in 2020, and that the vote in the Big 12 was 12-2.
Mm.
So of the 14 schools, 12 school presidents voted in a vote yesterday to not play college football, which has led to the emergency meeting that all the Power 5 schools had. Pac-12 is in lockstep apparently with the Big 10, and then it's up to the Big 12. What do the Big 12, the SEC, and the ACC do? Becomes the next question.
They're going to be missing a lot of players in the spring. If that were to happen, there are a lot of them that are going to opt out of playing in the spring. Why would they? Especially if they have the ability to be drafted, and that it could include Sam Ellinger.
Well, sure. I mean, yeah. I mean,
unless they say to the NCAA they'd like to have a 6-year. If this is really truly going to happen, can you then petition to have a 6-year? Like some medical student, you know, when guys have medical red shirts and things happen to them, they get a 6-year. Are there going to be kids that really want to play college football in the spring and say, I want my senior year? Can I have a 6-year?
Yeah. Well,
guys, I know that's down the line, but to come in a hurry.
Well, there's so many ramifications of all of these decisions, right? I mean, we know that, and it's a decision that the presidents have to make. Matt Hayes of College Football Writer tweeted, at Power 5 AD just texted me, it's looking more and more like it's Big Ten and Pac-12 versus SEC, ACC, and Big 12 at this point. Dan Patrick's tweet said that what he was told is that Pac-12 and Big Ten are going to opt out and not play. ACC and Big 12 are on the fence, and that the SEC is trying to talk them into falling their way and playing. So that is not surprising. It shouldn't be. There's a couple of things. None of this should be a surprise. You knew back in March or April,
right,
if the virus was not in a good place come August, it was going to be a challenge, and it's not. We went over 5 million confirmed cases as a country, and we know all those numbers. But then, you know, the other side of it is the other thing that developed over the weekend was this players uniting, right? I mean, the players saying, we're in this together, we want to play. And Trevor Lawrence and several other very prominent college football players had a Zoom call. And what came out of that was the hashtag, we want to play, and it started to spread like wildfire through, you know, college football, players retweeting it and, you know, jumping on board with it. But what the we are united, we want to play hashtags mean, Buck, is another situation that the school presidents and the athletic directors have to pay attention to. Because it's not just we want to play, and this is what their statement says coming out of these players. We all want to play football this season. We want to establish universal mandated health and safety procedures and protocols to protect college athletes against COVID-19 among all conferences throughout the NCAA.
Okay, that's good. You can have that done. They can try their best. Doesn't mean it's safe. Go ahead.
Give players the realistic opportunity to opt out and respect their decision. Guarantee eligibility, whether a player chooses to play the season or not.
That's the one.
The one's coming. Use our voices to establish an open communication and trust between players and officials, ultimately to create a college football players association.
Yeah, they don't. it's not that they have demands on those things. They would like to establish that and start that. But there's no, I mean, you can have an open communications and trust between players and officials. Okay, you can say that, but do you still trust? Would you still trust the NCAA or officials on your campus? That's the key.
Their final, you know, we are united mission statement was representatives of the players of all Power Five conferences. So they want representation, which again, Buck, I mean, if school presidents have, if you go there and allow college football players to essentially form a union, where does that lead?
This is just a start. These aren't demands.
And why?
Right? These
aren't,
it's just a start.
But there's no doubt that the face of college football is never the same. It's never
no,
the same.
No, it's not going
between
to
this and possible cancellation of the season, the, you know, the demands now, the players, we've said this over and over, but the players have sat back and watched this. They understand their power. They are, it's in their face that they are the ones that create the money, create the revenue that supports these athletic departments and brings these fans. So it never goes, this genie never goes back in the bottle.
Mm-mm.
But if you're a school president, Buck, you can't go there. You can't allow the players to unionize. If they do, well, then they're student athletes. They're amateurs. And you're under your system, they're amateurs. If they unionize, why can't the volleyball team unionize? Why can't the basketball programs unionize? I mean, it's the slope that they can't go down in their model, but it's in their face. So how do they handle it? And I do think that's a part of these votes, just as much as, not as much as the health and safety protocols, but it's a part of it.
Well, then that's why they're putting this off the spring, because we can't do all this in whatever month, what
right.
weeks. You're trying to, we're allegedly getting ready to play football in a month. We can't give you all these things in a month. We can't do all this.
Right.
It's not possible.
But
this is just, as I said, this is not demands. This is just
what they want.
This is talks.
Yeah, their conversations. This is what they want a seat at the table. Which
correct.
Which I think they should, right? They are a big part of this. They want to be at least be included in the conversation,
right?
Where they never have been before.
These are not demands. They're all, they just want to be a part of it.
And can they go there though? If they're the school presidents,
yeah. But because we want safety and all the right protocol to assure that everything's done the right way, so we can play football. Okay, that's easy. Emory University can say, well, we've done everything we can. Sorry you got sick, but we did everything we could. I mean,
but you know this, having coached for a long time, and we've covered it for a long time. On college campuses and within college athletics, all scholarship athletes are seen as the same, whether you're a track and field star, a volleyball player, football player.
Right.
Right? We're all UT athletes. Just to use Texas as an example. But if you go here, you're making football separate from the rest of the athletic department. They're different. They're special, right?
Because once again, we're still talking about a sport that keeps your whole department, keep everything alive.
But what I'm saying is the house of cards at that point comes down. The house of cards of, well, they're just like everybody else. They're student athletes. They get a scholarship. It all that is changing, and I don't know how they fix that at this point. And then
the sad part, it's been like this. They've been supporting everything
right.
for a long time, but we just kept on calling them student athletes, and you know they get this, they get that. But they're financing you, the volleyball team, the rowing team, at times even the baseball. Well, they're supporting all of you.
Correct. And that's the whole point. For the first time, they have leverage. It's like, we understand how valuable football is to this entire process. We'll play if you give us these things. We'll be there. We'll show up on Saturdays.
You know, my answer to that would be, as the president, yeah, we'll talk about this.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have a choice. Yeah, we're going to talk about it. But
because the AD is going to come in and say, Mr. President, can I go give you the bottom line of this budget if we don't play football? I tell you what this looks like if we don't play. And so, yes, the players have leverage and they're using it to their advantage and trying to get at least a say in this. But so if you're the players, you understand saying we'll play, but it's got to be safe. You've got to take extensive protocols to keep us safe because we're taking a risk by playing.
Yes.
So we need that, and then we need a seat at the table in the conversation, at least to be heard. And, you know, will the presidents go there? And that's where I think you're seeing, you know, 12 or 14 Big 12, Big 10 presidents opt out and opting to not play. The Pac-12 is going to follow suit, and then we'll see what the other three Power 5 schools do. And then you add this to it. Pete Thamel from Yahoo Sports tweeted this just 30 minutes ago. The NFL is watching what unfolds with college with interest. They remain highly intrigued by the Saturday television real estate with the potential of absence of games.
Yeah, they're about to say goodbye to you guys. They're you know, you've been our, guess what? Forever you've been our farm club, our farm league. And, oh, by the way, if you don't want Saturdays, we'll take Saturdays too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, oh, you're not going to play on Saturday?
We will.
We'll play on Saturday.
Of course we will.
We'll put our games on Saturday because we can't have fans in, but this will, you know, our TV partners will love this, and they're going to pay us big money to put our games on Saturday.
Let me tell you this. The Rock may have fallen into some good stuff here.
The Rock. Yeah, right about that. Buying the XFL for a pretty bargain.
Wow. For only $15 million?
Yeah, because who knows what college athletics looks like
right
next year and beyond. I mean, it's a, you know, and obviously, look, we're sitting here talking about this. We live in a huge college market. We work at the flagship station of the university. We're hoping that there's a college football season. We're partners with the university, and we hope this can happen. But we're only reporting what we're seeing and hearing and hoping for the best, but being realistic in the conversation.
And the realistic thing is you're not going to have fans in stands if you play football.
Oh.
If you're the Big 12 and you decide to go along with the SEC, there you're talking give and take. When other leagues won't be playing, you're not going to have 25%. You're not going to have anybody in the stands
that's a factor into this too. Then we shouldn't be playing. We're taking a risk. We're not making the cash. We're taking a huge financial hit by not having fans. And we're giving, you know, allowing the players to unionize and have a say. That's a lot we're giving in on.
This is a political, this is a election year. There's going to be some give and take. But you can't be away from all these other conferences. And with you, the ACC, the Big 12 ACC, and the SEC, we're going to go ahead. Somebody's going to say, well, we got to not have fans in the stands then. Because if somebody gets sick, we can't screw this up at all angles. Yeah. If it gets screwed up that way, I'm just saying, if it happens that way, now you're really open to liable. You're going to be liable.
It's going to be interesting, and it's not just football. I mean, talked to somebody over the weekend that heard from an AD that maybe they're considering the college basketball season starting in January, and just going, you know, not even going in October and in November. And there have been some within college athletics that have kind of pushed for that to be the case anyhow. Why wouldn't we just start college basketball in January and finish? I know March Madness is March Madness, but we could have May Madness. We'll just play the college basketball season starting in January and play into the summer. But
this
we'll
sounds
see.
Like the same scenarios we were talking about in March.
I know.
If we can do this, let's just wait this out.
I know.
Yeah.
It's the frustrating conversation because we really just want to be talking about football. We're doing our
Absolutely.
Horn Top 20 and focusing on Iowa State this morning. We'll hit number 19 tomorrow and count all the way to number 1. But if Dan Patrick and others are accurate and the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are about ready to cancel, well, I mean, that's a huge hit. And do the others follow suit? And, you know, we turn our attention to football.
Is it possible? That's the one. Is it possible, E, to have those conferences say no and the other ones really go on?
Is it possible? Yes. I mean, I think there's nothing preventing it because the conferences have autonomy. They can make their own decisions. And the conferences have already, they've all gone all conference games anyway. Right, so the SEC is planning, and I think part of that is why that you know we control our destiny here. We're not relying on any other non-conference games. If we want to play them, we're going to play them.
Guess what? During your lawsuits, the ones that keep on playing, you got TV money. There's going to be right.
Well, and then it's a broken record now, but between the lawyers and the doctors and the medical advisory teams telling these school presidents, that's where the information's
coming
from.
You're going to need that money if you play.
Yeah, and if you go against the advice of your medical people. And play anyhow, and this is where the lawyers come in and say you're opening this university up to major liability, and especially if other major conferences are making the other decision and you're putting yourself out there.
How do you explain it?
Yeah, and then what if something does go? Are you willing to stake your career on this? And maybe this university's financial, it all could fall apart, right? I mean, that has to be in these conversations.
Well, I think people who love sports have to realize that there are donors outside of the ones that do sports to universities. There are major donors all over college universities that aren't sports people. They give millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Millions and billions.
They do.
Yeah, they do. And they have buildings named after them and things like that.
Right.
And medical schools and business schools. Hey, so one of the weird things about the PGA Championship yesterday, Buck, you know, we've talked about the lack of spectators. Is it fair to say that that was really the first time that it came into play? That chip on 14 with a gallery would have been unbelievable, right? I mean, the crowd reaction to Colin Morikawa, I mean, we didn't get any of that. It's one of the great things about the majors is the who the crowd is for and against. You know, how they would have reacted to Bryson DeChambeau, who's either everybody loves him or everybody thinks he's on steroids. But, I mean, when Morikawa made the chip, I mean, that should be a Sunday moment. That's a Sunday major moment of all time. And it was quiet. It was just him going, yeah!
And the deuce that he had at the par four, they would have gone nuts there.
Yeah, both of those moments are, it's the lowest PGA Sunday round ever. It's the lowest two-day total on a Saturday, Sunday in a major.
I wonder
ever.
How many people were watching, though. I wonder how the TV ratings went for that. You think so?
I think so far what I've seen is trends, you know, TV sports ratings are way up across the board, whether it's golf or the early start of baseball has been really good.
And I tell you what I haven't paid attention to is hockey. Weren't some people eliminated from the playoffs? Wasn't that all playoff stuff over the weekend?
Playoffs, yeah.
I'm sorry, hockey fans, but hockey's still tough for me in August.
Yeah, well,
it's tough.
It's a good, bad, and ugly Monday, and the good is there was so much sports over the weekend. The bad is obviously what we're talking about with the discouraging news that dropped last night. And because, again, whether you believe this or not, we want there to be a college football season. We're just being practical and realistic to the reality of what everyone is dealing with. All right, Buck, we're rooting now for Simon Cowell. I don't know if you saw this. Are you a fan of America's Got Talent? Or before that, it was, what was he on, American Idol? Your guy Simon Cowell?
Yes.
Well, turns out he was riding an electric bicycle.
And he took a header, didn't
took
he?
Took a header and broke his back.
What?
Yes.
He went Romo?
Yes, he broke his back. It's spinal.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, man. I don't like this at all. Yes, Simon Cowell is said to have undergone surgery after breaking his back in a fall from an electric bike in California.
Sorry about that, Romo.
Sorry, Romo. Yeah. Oh, he's hurt.
Broke his back?
Broke his back. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. You know what I'm saying?
Get rid of the scooters.
This says, can schools counter with if you want to play and you want protection, then you have to agree to not sue?
Sure. There you go. Here you go.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on here.
Yeah.
Is it? Think about, how's this going to go, Buck? You're student athletes. Mm-hmm. You don't get paid to play. And some of these schools around the country, we're not even bringing our students back to campus because we don't think it's safe enough. But we need you to come back and play. Oh, and sign a waiver that if something does go poorly, that you won't sue us.
No, we're going to court. Yeah. Even if I sign that waiver, guess what? We're going to court.
Yeah, who does that seem fair to? If it was your own son, would you let him sign that waiver?
No.
Heck no.
No.
Of course you wouldn't.
People sign stuff all the time and still get sued.
Well,
right?
I wouldn't let him sign it. I mean, if you want me to play, I'll play, but I'm not signing a waiver.
That's why they want all this other stuff.
Yeah. So that's where college football
stands.
And
I think that's why the Big Ten and places like Ohio State that run the roost there, when they started getting their players to sign things, they were going, damn, we shouldn't have done that.
I remember the Buckeye Pledge they had to sign, right?
Yes.
The Buckeye Pledge. That is correct. That is correct. But that's just a bad look. I mean, again, whether you believe this or not, because I know a lot of people think, no, this is no big deal, but you're bringing student athletes back to compete really for financial reasons against the advice of the medical advisory teams. And then you want them to sign a waiver so that they can come in and make money for the athletic department that they don't see any of. And, you know, obviously that paints a pretty ugly picture if you follow it to its end.
For sure.
And that's kind of what everyone's looking at
right
now.
But I still didn't miss the fans at the golf.
I did. I did yesterday for the first time.
I didn't. I enjoyed all the conversations between the players and their caddies. I thought, you know what? The match goes faster. It goes quicker. You know what I mean? They had enough cameras out there.
No, I thought the coverage was great.
The coverage is the scene.
I mean, San Francisco is one of the most beautiful cities in the world anyhow, as far as the aerial footage and the Golden Gate Bridge and the fog over, I mean, the
cypress
the fog
trees
rolling.
There at the lake.
Those trees are so big and beautiful. So, yeah, the presentation was great. I did, but I missed the crowd Sunday.
Did you miss Baba Booey?
No.
Bada-bing.
It's just the reaction when huge historic, you're just used to that, you know, the Tiger Woods moments or the, you know, the great golf moments on a Sunday afternoon with the crowd going crazy. Didn't get it. So I did. That's the first time. It wasn't a huge deal, but it's the first time that I noticed it. And I thought, man, Colin Morikawa, there should have been you know, just a roar of the crowd when he made that chip and then that eagle on 16. But, you know, it's just him fist pumping. It's like him playing out with his buddies.
Just around right there at the club.
Sure, it felt good, but.
It wasn't a club. It's public golf course.
Muni.
Wow. What a hard Muni that looked like.
Muni, yeah.
That's why you have to go for it at number 16, E. You're a professional. Take your 3-wood out, hit a cutter, and put it on. Right?
Yeah.
You can't go up there with an iron and play safe at that hole. Coming from a guy who shoots in the 80s, sorry about that. But
hey,
you got to go for that. Got to go for the gusto.
You didn't show up to layup. You know what I'm saying? You showed up to win.
That's right. Come here to lay up. Came here to go for it. You're right. Take dead aim. That kid took dead aim and put that ball so tight. That was so nice to see.
That was awesome. And it was the pivotal shot of the golf tournament. He went for it.
It was.
And he is now a major champion.
At 23 years old.
And only his second major. I mean, he just finished college. I mean, this guy was at Cal Berkeley a year or so ago.
By the way, he didn't qualify for the first major, right? He couldn't have won it because he wasn't a professional. Wasn't he an amateur that played in the major?
Well, this is the first major in more than a year. So this was his first. Which one did he play in? He played in one end of last year.
Before he turned pro, I think.
Yeah. But yes, now he's sitting on top of the world for sure. Hey, did you see the Rangers game yesterday? I don't know if, you know, baseball's been around a long time. So it's hard to find something that happens that has never happened before in a baseball game in the major leagues, but it happened in the Rangers game yesterday. Did you know this? So the Angels were playing the Rangers, and by the way, Rangers sweep. That was good for them. They had only had 3 wins coming in, and they end up sweeping the Angels. But I'm trying to get this guy, this outfielder for the Angels name, but crazy. So there's a the right fielder for the his name is Joe Adell. The right fielder for Los Angeles. It was on a Nick Solak hit. It goes towards the wall. He jumps to catch the ball on the warning track ahead of the fence. It hits his glove.
Ruh-roh.
And goes over the fence. Like, he knocked it over the fence for a home run in the Rangers 7-3 victory. According to Elias Sports and the investigators here, that is the first ever 4-base error in baseball history. They ruled it a 4-base error. Like, remember when Jose Canseco had hit off his head and went over the fence? That was not ruled an error. That was just hit him on the noggin. But since he had his glove on it.
And it's an error.
The official scorer ruled it an error. That's, the ball's in your glove. You have to catch that.
Can of corn?
Well, in the can of corn, he had to leap for it a little bit. But it was in his glove, and then he pushed it up over the fence. So they gave him a 4-base error. Never happened before. Not a home run. 4-base error.
Gee.
Cool stuff, and something that's never happened before happens. Sports is cool.
Sports is cool,
and it's back. This is a $200 round Muni. It costs $200 to play out there
on the weekends.
Dang,
weekdays you can get out there for $125. I pay $125 to play there, right? That was gorgeous.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. Those cypress trees were amazing. You know, that's not far from the redwoods. You ever been to the redwood trees where you can, like, drive your car through them?
I think I've seen them.
Unbelievable.
Up in Seattle.
Redwoods.
Yeah, the big redwoods up in Seattle.
Cypress
yeah.
Nothing is nothing. No joke, for sure. All right, we'll come back. When we do, we'll dive in back into our Horn Top 20 countdown, talking Iowa State Cyclones football. They're the 20th ranked team on our countdown to number one. We're keeping our eyes on the breaking news because it's coming fast with reports of cancellations of college football in the Big Ten and Pac-12 looming. What does it mean? We'll continue those conversations, not just on this show, but all day long, of course, here on the Horn. We go live and local 14 hours today right here on 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Before we get into our Horn Top 20 countdown, a couple of startling developments this morning, Buck. A report that Taco Bell is considering selling chicken wings. Is that even possible? Yeah. Yeah, according to some folks on the interwebs, there's a Taco Bell near Anaheim, California that has started to sell crispy chicken wings at Taco Bell.
Cat and chicken wings?
Get your burrito supreme, your taco supreme, and your chicken
meow
wings. That seems odd.
Chicken wings. That, oh.
Also, according to a new survey, this is a positive impact of the coronavirus. 57% of people are brushing their teeth now that they smell their own breath under their mask.
Oh, yeah. I get after it, man.
That's a positive development for Dennis. Well, Dennis, yeah, but your dentist always says you brush your teeth. Yeah, because when you wear
I think I have really good breath because I brush twice a day. I use, you know, I get in there and use that.
Listerine?
Listerine. No, I've gotten away from that. I got away from Brand Loyal.
Like a natural one?
No, I got away from Brand Loyal. I just went with HEB brand. What's the difference? Except for like a buck and a quarter. It's the same stuff. It's the same stuff they put in Listerine. I finally got away from a brand name and went HEB. But still, when you're outside working around and it's hot, your breath basically smells like a septic tank.
Yeah, when you get that mask on and you get a whiff, like, oh. Yo.
Hello there.
Hey now. Better get into the get the toothbrush going there. Where's the Listerine? But yeah, every once in a while. But yeah, that's a good thing. That's a positive development. I'm not sure I understand the development of chicken wings at Taco Bell.
No, but I don't get that one.
Not at all. College football on the brain for sure. Just watching the Colin Morikawa shot on 16 again. What a shot. And that's the shot of your life, right? I mean,
it's cutter. I hit lots of cutters. That's a beauty, man.
You hit the cutter?
I hit the cutter when need be.
You just like the little
outside in, cutter.
Beautiful. That guy, the chip in was one thing, but the eagle at 16 sealed it, and the drivable par four. And you said, if you're pro and it's Sunday and you're coming down the back nine, you got to go for it.
And especially, here's the thing. They get conservative when they're close. Isn't that the time where you got to let it loose? You know, you got to look up at the board and see six guys at 10. You got to come to 16 and go, no, that's it. I'm hitting the cutter. I'm taking control of this thing. Coming from the guy who shoots 90 and 92. Yeah, but that's okay. I'm still a player.
Still
taking some money from my buddies.
By the way, that's one of the great lines from the movie Seabiscuit that I told you about. Turn him loose. Turn him loose is a big one.
Is it?
Turn him loose. Yeah, when he wins the match race.
You've cried seven times in that, huh?
No, not seven times. Like a couple. Because there's climax moments where it's exciting and exhilarating, and then there's... If they're uplifting and emotional, and then there's the sad moment.
Does a horse die?
No. Eventually.
Oh, no, but this is a survivor, Seabiscuit? Didn't break a leg or anything?
He did break a leg.
Ooh.
He did break. Well, and he ruptured a tendon.
And that was it.
But they nursed him back, and he won again, which was awesome. It was a comeback story. You know, you got to see him. You got to go back and watch Seabiscuit again. It's a great
I have seen it, but I've got to go back.
It says... Are you hitting the cutter, or you just slice the hell out of the ball?
I'm not slicing. I hit the cutter on purpose. There's sometimes
that
I hit
the draw
cutter.
Then?
Not really. I used to be able to draw the ball, but it's either going to go dead straight, 190, 195, or I can play the cutter. It's not a slice, no.
Didn't you hit a hole-in-one with a driver?
I hit a hole-in-one with a 7-wood. It was 140 yards, but it was like 30 degrees.
Oh, that's
at
right.
Lost Pines.
Oh, yeah.
It was cold, and it was against the wind.
Wasn't it like a little skanky shot?
It was a little skanky shot that went up a hill and rolled back down into the cup.
No way.
That wasn't a skanky shot. It's a hole-in-one.
I know. You don't draw, you know, pictures on the scorecard.
You
but
don't ever draw pictures on the score. No.
Like, you think hole-in-one, you think this big, high, majestic draw
two hops
that lands
in.
And rolls and just rolls
no,
right in.
It went to the precipice of the top of the hole. I mean, the top of the green. And I didn't even see it because it came down. And I said, you know what? I think that's going to be close. And there it was, sitting at the bottom of the hole, hole in one.
It's awesome.
I throw those balls away, too. I keep playing. I never keep those balls.
You didn't keep your hole in one ball?
What for? I'd lose it. I need the ball. I get it mixed up.
I don't know what I would do. I've never hit one. I've never had one.
I've had two.
I've come... The cover of my phone is this golf ball right here. That would have been a double eagle. On number one,
by the way,
the original.
Let me tell
creek.
You something. You can't have a picture of a ball that's close.
Yeah, I can.
No, you can't.
It didn't go in.
I know.
But that's my screenshot because I couldn't believe it.
That was for a double eagle.
That was for a 2 on a 5.
Now I've had one of those
7-iron
in
to
scramble
to within 2 inches.
I've had one of those.
It was a tap in bird
at the Hills of Lakeway.
A tap in eagle. It was beautiful.
On hole number 9, but it was a scramble.
3 on a 5.
You can't count that.
It was beautiful.
No.
At the beautiful Onion Creek, number one.
How many tournaments is this young guy, Morikawa, going to win? I bet he's going to win a bunch.
Well, we say that every time a new guy wins it, but this guy seems like he's got it. I mean, this is 1 year. Jordan Spieth has fallen apart and lost his game. We know that. But this kid's game is mature. He's a mature kid. And his game is so dang consistent. Love him. Love his demeanor.
I don't even know what to say about Jordan Spieth. He is.
Oh gosh.
It's hard to just.
Yeah, it can. That's, and that, look, for anybody, that's golf, man. It can, you can lose it, and it becomes mental. I mean, it's to the point with Jordan. I mean, he may have to make a big change, like caddy change.
Bye, Michael.
Even though we like Michael Greller a lot,
bye-bye.
They were an unbelievable team when he was, you know, number one in the world. But it's just, I don't know what it is. It's he's trying too hard. The harder you try, it's like quicksand. The harder you try, the more you're going to sink, and it's not trending in a good direction.
How about Morikawa, who's had a golf psychologist since he was 8?
Oh yeah,
that's since he was 8.
Yeah,
this guy's been working with him.
Yeah, he doesn't get, you know, and you know, with guys like that, you don't have any fans to worry about. You just concentrate, play your game. Knock it stiff. Hey, let's dive into the Horn Top 20 countdown for this hour.
Can I get a countdown?
It's the Horns College Football Top 20, presented by Allstat Beer. Number 20, the Iowa State Cyclones.
Purdy, back to the air, floats one, wide open. Touchdown, ISU, Charlie Kohler.
Oh, man. Iowa State Cyclones. We said it earlier, but the stat bears repeating that for 39 years, from 1979 until Matt Campbell arrived in Ames, Iowa, that program had 1 8-win or more season. One. And they've now had 3 in a row. That's pretty good.
It is. I mean, that's what they are. They're a fourth place team. 8 wins is a big deal for them. And in this given year, I don't know if they're going to get to 8, but the way they were going, that's what Iowa State is. And in this given year anyway, Oklahoma State is going to be in the thick of things with Texas and Oklahoma. I don't think Iowa State still is good enough, because I don't think Purdy's good enough without a huge surrounding cast to make them any better than a fourth place team in this, okay, in this conference.
We heard Phil Steele's thoughts. We heard the afternoon guys. And by the way, you can go to the website, hornfm.com. And for all of our top 20 teams, the triple option, RBKD, Rod Babers, Kevin Dunn, Brad Kellner, breaking down an overview each team, including Iowa State today, and Matt Campbell, Brock Purdy, the tight end's tremendous, the running back. I know you like the running back, Breece Hall.
I do.
He's excellent. Boy, what a freshman campaign he had, over 1,000 yards, 5.5.
Wait till he understands the passing game as a running back.
Yeah, 5.5 yards per carry, and he really added some juice to that offense. And that really is the question. I mean, if Purdy continues to emerge as one of the top quarterbacks in the conference, to go with what typically for Matt Campbell is as well coached and fundamental as a defense as the conference has, they're never going to match up athletically player to player with a team like Oklahoma or Texas or even Oklahoma State. But that gives you an indication how good Matt Campbell is. And they think, or if you talk to folks at Iowa State, you know, this is his. He's got four recruiting classes in. This is his 5th year. These are all his guys. The development, the program. There are people who believe this is the year they can actually step past a team like Oklahoma State potentially and put themselves in the conversation for the Big 12 title game. But they do have to go to Stillwater. They do have to come to Austin. And again, this is all under the idea if they do play a season.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. They can, you know, on the road at Oklahoma State in a year that Oklahoma State has really, they're just filled with talent. And Texas can't afford to lose that game. You can't lose back-to-back years to Iowa State, no matter where you play. You just can't. For Tom Herman, that's disaster.
Yeah.
To lose to Iowa State at home.
That should not happen. But right. Yeah. And last year's game with Iowa State and Texas was as discouraging of any game of the year.
You're right.
Because Texas couldn't.
Maybe the most.
Yeah, because the coaches were so stubborn with their offense and they couldn't run the football, yet they stuck with it. And then on the 3 occasions that they let Sam Ellinger drop back and, you know, go 4 or 5 wide receivers and just attack their secondary, which was their weakness, they went up and down the field.
What are they talking about? What the hell is a 7-wood? You know what a 7-wood is. It's for old people.
One of these days I'll get a 7-wood.
Not
you. This
guy
says, can E. Hogan explain how he hit a 7-iron to the green on a par 5?
I've seen him. First of all, I've seen him hit irons. I've seen him hit a 3-iron or a 2-iron or a driving iron really, really far. That's why he can hit a 7-iron.
Let me explain this. If you know golf course at Onion Creek, it's the number one hole of the original 9.
Yes.
It's a long par 5, but it dog legs to the right. And, you know, it is a hard hole. Because I typically play a draw. It's a great hole for someone who cuts the golf ball like you or slices it. But let me put the caveat. It's probably the greatest golf shot I've ever hit. But
there you go.
But the wind was gusty behind you. Like, it was downwind, and I hit a really good drive.
Past the bunker on the left.
Mm-hmm. Past the bunker on the left. And it was actually sitting right past the 200 plate. So I hit it over 300 yards.
There you go.
And I will admit the wind helped, because it was probably a 20-mile-an-hour wind right by my back. So now I'm sitting on the 200
there you go, Shambo.
Plate. 200 plate. Just past it. And that's how straight it was. It was a good drive. And so normally with a 200-yard shot, I would hit a 6-iron. But
yeah.
Since the wind was up, I pulled out the 7-iron.
Just a little 7.
Because I knew I was going to get a little love on the wind.
Probably knocked down 7.
No.
Full 7?
High draw up over the trees. And it was because you can't see the green on that hole from where you're standing.
And it's hard to tell where the pin is anyway.
Yeah, and you're not sure where. I thought I hit a good shot, and that's when I got up there, and it was inch from the cup. And I'm like, sweet.
Inch. So get yourself
nice shot.
Some of that.
Yeah, so it was typically a 7-iron for me is 180, 175, 180.
Okay, my little 7-wood, I hit the 7-wood because it was 35 degrees and I decided to play. And it was 140. What do I have to explain? I don't hit the ball far with irons. I just hit them straight or cutter.
Well, it doesn't happen always, but the sun shines on a dog's butt.
That's right.
Once in a while.
Squirrel finds that nut every once in a while, yes.
Certainly does. Iowa State, number 20 in our countdown to number 1. Keep it tuned all day, every day. We'll hit number 19 tomorrow, all the way to number 1 on September the 4th. The question will be, will there be college football by then? Because the plug may get pulled. Big reports this morning from multiple sources that the Big Ten is ready to cancel their college football season for 2020, and the Pac-12 is going to follow soon after and make the same decision. That would leave the ball in the court of the Big 12, the SEC, and the ACC. We'll continue to debate that. Also, resetting your top stories coming up. We'll tee it up for the rest of the day here on the Horn. Busy one for sure on a Monday on 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260. We're always streaming live on the Horn app on hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Coming up top of the hour, it is Light the Tower with Craig Way and Jeff Howe. They'll have their thoughts on the big stories of the morning and the big weekend of activity, plus their peak at the number 20 team in the Horn Top 20 countdown, the Iowa State Cyclones. And just talking with Craig Way during the break, Buck, and we got into the debate. Where are you on this? Is this arguably the biggest week in the history of college football?
You know, when I found that out yesterday, I said this will be the biggest week in the history of college football coming up. And this is the biggest week. Just I thought feels from a standpoint of will they play college football this year. But now looking at it, this is going to be the biggest week in college football history, period.
Because if they don't play, the ramifications are massive. I mean, it's hard to even imagine what the financial fallout will be. Now, again, if you hear the Big Ten cancel, it's going to be postponed to the spring. And let's hope that they're going to plan to play. And maybe that's a little hyperbole, the biggest ever. But I don't know. I mean, it seems monumental that if they had to cancel and push seasons, players are uniting and trying to union pushing the idea of a college football players association, which, by the way, it's illegal at this point. They according to the rules, the National Labor Relations rules,
the Northwestern group didn't win, did they?
Well, and the reason they couldn't is you can unionize if you work for a private business, and you know these aren't employees, they're not paid employees of a private company. And that's who's able to unionize right under the National Labor Relations law.
It's interesting. Who's pushing the agenda for the players now?
Players.
There's generally somebody outside that's pushing the agendas for players in just about everything. You know, somebody who's a lawyer, somebody who's big in something or other. But it does sound like the players are actually pushing this agenda.
Sure. I mean, we want to play, we are united thing came out of a Zoom call with a bunch of, including Trevor Lawrence, a bunch of players. Who says, and essentially, as we've said, their message is we want to play, but we will only play under these circumstances.
Okay, Trevor. So if that be the case and you're pushing that agenda, if this thing gets thrown back and they won't play till the spring, what are you going to do as the number one guy taken? Are you actually going to come and play football in the spring? Will Trevor Lawrence play? That would be ludicrous for that guy to go play football in the spring.
Agreed. But it doesn't mean he can't fight for the rights of players moving forward. And that's where this week you can see so much change. I mean, the players are you're hearing from college administrators saying, look, this never goes back in the bottle, the genie here. The players are demanding a voice, and we never go back to the way it was with the players. Whether people like that or not, they understand the power that they have because they fund everything, and they just want a seat at the table and to be a part of the conversation.
Yeah, once again, these aren't demands by the players. They want to,
right?
But they want to be a part of it.
Yeah, and at least included in the conversation of where it goes. Well, obviously, that's a dramatic change for college athletics and the amateurism model in which they've played under. And then, you know, obviously, if you cancel games and don't play, the financial impact of that is massive for college athletics and athletic departments and
it's risky.
Schools.
It's risky for schools. It's also risky for players.
And as we said, guess what? If they don't play on Saturdays, you know the NFL is going to jump in with their TV partners and say, oh, we'll play on Saturday.
Yeah, and then once again, you were the guys who wanted to unionize and do all this stuff, and you don't get to showcase yourself.
Yeah.
Guess who is going to showcase themselves?
The NFL.
The NFL.
Yeah. And don't think if the NFL jumps into Saturdays this year that they won't try to keep doing it because the NFL's a business and they're looking at it saying, oh, wait a second, there's a void on Saturdays now. If there's no college football, we'll fill it.
By the way, you college football players have been our farm leagues forever, and now you want to give up Saturdays? We'll take it.
Yeah. And the TV partners will jump on it. I mean, ESPN, I mean, they'll because, you know, they're banking on having college football and those, you know, highly televised and viewed games.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the NFL will just say, look, we'll play our Thursday night game. We'll play half our schedule Saturday, half our schedule Sunday, and Monday night.
And people's eyeballs will be all over that TV.
Damn right they would. Yeah. I mean, they will. Now, I know there's some people saying, I'm not watching NFL.
Oh, yeah. Until it comes on.
Yeah, until it well.
Then you start watching again.
Make your choice.
Dwayne The Rock. I'm telling you, Dwayne Johnson. Here comes your farm league.
Well, that's what the NFL has needed. I think college football has needed the NFL to have a subsidiary farm league that's not college football. But they've always had this alliance, this unsaid alliance, and it worked for both sides. But it does feel like that's unraveling at the college level, that the players understand that finally it's going to force change for the good. And we already saw it coming, right, with the name and likeness and those changes, the state of California and other states heading that direction.
God, that thing's supposed to happen in 21.
Yeah, and now it should be forever different at that point. So, you know, we've always talked about on this show, we love college football, but you know, there should be a league between the NFL and college that players can play if they don't want to be student athletes and they want to be compensated for their talents. But we'll see. It is a big, big day for sure, a big week. As reports are out this morning that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 planning to cancel. The vote in the Big Ten, according to Dan Patrick and his source, was 12-2. The two abstaining votes in the Big Ten were Iowa and Nebraska, who wanted to keep playing. The other 12 on board for postponing the season to the spring.
It's making my head spin this morning.
Me too. Because the outcomes are huge. And we knew it was always a possibility. And some would even argue likely.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are, my friend. Here we are. All right, have a wonderful Monday. Every hour, podcast at hornfm.com. That's all our local shows. We appreciate everybody that was there for a good, bad, and ugly Monday. Go back and listen to any part that you missed. Appreciate you being there. We'll pick it up again tomorrow with all the very latest. And we go live and local all day long, every day, with Light the Tower coming up, Shirts and Skins with Trey and the crew, followed by RBKD this afternoon. The full show back together with Brad Kellner's return with Rod Babers and Kevin Dunn. Buck, have a good Monday.
Be careful
out there, man. Get some rest. It's National Lazy Day. Go be lazy.
I'm going to.
Zay, thanks. Isaiah Collier, our producer. We appreciate him. Appreciate you. See you bright and early tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., where it be at number 19 in our Horn Top 20 countdown. Have a great Monday.